All right, well, let's preach the word today. Jeremiah chapter number 18. The Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to where? Y'all are readers, awesome. The potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was. Can somebody make some tea? Can we make some tea, some hot tea, really quickly? All right, go down to the potter's house. And there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. All right, today I wanted to bring to you a different topic, and I know we've been talking about monarchs and butterflies, and we've been talking about being authentically you and the process of the butterfly. But today, God wanted me to talk to you about... She cleared her throat for me. I heard it. She was like, please, God, do it for her. All right. Jeremiah 18, this letter that the Lord was writing to Israel, he began to send Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And I began to ask God, I said, God, what is it that you desire to say to this amazing church today? And God told me, I want to write a letter to the clay. He said, I want to write a letter to the clay. So we're going to take this from the perspective of God speaking directly to you. Say, I am the clay. Say, I am the clay. All right. So today God told me the topic for today is I want to put my will on the wheel. I'm going to put my W-I-L-L on the W-H-E-E-L. Can somebody shout today that you're going to put your will on the wheel? Y'all, that ministered to me in such a powerful way, because God began to show me that there are people right now who have not laid their wheels down. God's desire is to design you perfectly according to his plan. He desires to take you from one level to another, but he says, I keep getting a little bit of frequency, a little bit of interference that's coming from you. And he says that it's your will. Your will starts to get in the way when you begin to outthink God. When you begin to make plans and preparations for things and you did not consult God. So I begin to look up in the text. I begin to look up what the word will means. Will is defined in the Bible as the faculty of the mind that determines whether to do or to forbear an action. Watch this. He said, in order for your will to be at work, you have to either say, I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. I feel my help. It says to do or not to do based on whatever your mind determines. So you determine your will. You begin to determine your outcome. You determine what's going to happen. And God said, I want to get in the middle of your will and I want to shift your will. Can somebody say, God, shift me? Most of us make choices every day as to what we desire to do. That would be defined as our will. We do whatever we want to. This normally overrides the plan and the will of God. God is the ultimate creator. He has created everything. And if he desires to change something, he can change it. According to the scripture, the Bible says that he began to make something on the wheel. And so he began to say that you are chosen. I need you to know this, that the clay was a chosen piece of material. The clay had to be chosen because he could have used any other kind of material. He could have used plastic. He could have used ceramic, but he chose clay. And I said, God, what does that mean to the people? He said, tell them that they are chosen. I took out time to pick you. He said, I picked you because you were pliable. He said, I picked you because you were able to be used by me. He said, I didn't want to pick somebody that was stiff neck. He said, I didn't want to pick somebody that wouldn't obey my will. He said, I picked clay because when I get clay in my hands, I can make clay out of whatever I desire to make it. Can somebody shout and say, use me, God. Make me whatever you want to make me. Watch this. He began to say, he began to show me this. Oh God, this was the good part to me. He said that I chose them. I chose them. Watch this. And then he began to say to me, he began to show me just a cross narrative of how that even Jesus was submitted to the will of God. that he even stayed submitted and became obedient. The Bible says that he became obedient even unto death, that he began to obey even death. He knew that I gotta die so that you could live. He said, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna be obedient to the plan of God, because he says, I know that the pain of the cross is unbearable. He said, but you living in hell is even more unbearable. So he said, I'm going to obey the plan of God, and whatever it takes, whether it's thorns, whether it's thistles, whether it's a crown on my head, whether it's mockings, whether it's beatings, he said, I'm going to endure it because I want to see you get to heaven. Can somebody say he obeyed the will of God? The cross was heavy, but the penalty of sin was heavier. Y'all, I get excited when I start talking about the cross. I'm gonna try to stay away from it today until the end, because the cross is the reason why we're even in this room. It was because of the cross that we're even able to lift up our hands, dirty hands that should not be lifted, because the Bible says that the wages of sin was death. You should be dead because of all the lying and the backbiting that you did. But thank God for the cross. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood that he was able to purify us, wash us, and make us clean. Said that the cross was heavy, but the penalty of sin was even heavier. Not only that, but he obeyed the will of God. I'm trying to go in the path he wants me to. Watch this. He said that he even obeyed the plan of God to go through Samaria. The Bible says that Jesus even needed to go through Samaria. He had to go into a region that wasn't comfortable for him, where he wasn't even welcome. But he knew, I gotta go. He said, I gotta go there anyway, even though they may not clap for me, even though they may not shout for me. He said, I'm gonna go there anyway, because there's a woman there that needs a resurrection. And he said, when I get there, when I get over into that territory, God has already promised that wherever I put my feet, that he's gonna give it to me. So now, when he gets in Samaria, all of the Samaritans now get to know Jesus because of the woman. Look at somebody, say, I'm gonna obey his will. So sometimes your will goes against the will of God. But then there are some people that are chosen by God that he absolutely loves. He picked this clay specifically. He picked this clay specifically because he knew that this clay would obey his commands. I know there are some of you like, man, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm gonna live however I wanna live. I'm gonna stay and drive whatever I wanna drive. And then you say, I'm a party for the young people. You say, I'm gonna live this life for the rest of my life, but you don't know how much time you have. Okay, y'all ain't talking to me today. Come on, I need to talk back, church. Come on, you say, I got a lot of time, but you don't know how much time you really have. You've got to make a decision whether or not you're going to live for Jesus for the rest of your life. And I know you'll act just like Saul did, but then all of a sudden time met up with purpose on the road to Damascus and knocked an old murderer off of a horse and caused him to live for Jesus. I know you feel like you can do whatever you want to. I hear you, Saul. I'll persecute every Christian I can. I'll throw them in prison. I'll try to shut them up and make them stop. But that's the type of God that I serve, that he'll take it and flip the script. He'll change your life in just a moment. Paul went from persecuting to being a preacher. Can somebody shout that God's about to change somebody when you give up your will for his? When you give up your will for his. The cross was heavy, but the penalty was heavier. Watch this. So then, sometimes the plan isn't what we desire or the way that we desire. So we must stick to the plan. Because, say this, the plan has a purpose. All right? The plan has a purpose. So you're not just in this situation for no reason at all. By the time this is over, God's gonna get the goods out of you. No, 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 no. By the time he gets through crushing you, by the time this situation gets through, crushing you, bringing you to your knees, causing you to be able to look up, all you're going to be able to do is look up and call on the name of Jesus. By the time this is all over, come on, the Bible says that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let him crush you. Let him crush you. He's got a purpose. That pain is on purpose. That pain is to produce power. He wants to put the pain there so power can come up out of you. The pain is there so that the anointing can flow through you. The pain is there so that power will begin to flow out of you. Can somebody shout, this pain has purpose? This pain has purpose. This pain has purpose. I would travel through the Bible, but I ain't got that much voice to do it. But pain always has purpose. So watch this. So not only that, but the Bible says, and the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, which means he put the wheel, his will, on the wheel. Dear clay, it's time for you to let go of your will. He said, I need you to let go of your will and put it on my will so I can begin to mold you into the person that I desire. I know you don't like it, Peter. I know you don't like it, but I'm about to get that cussing out of you. Come on, y'all. Okay, I said Peter, but I call your own name because you still lying, cussing people out. But God said, I gave you more authority. He said, you shouldn't be using your words lightly. Blessings and cursings cannot come out of the same fountain. God said, I gave you the ability to use your mouth and speak and make decrees. So don't use your words. Look at your neighbor and say, don't waste your words. Don't waste your words. Come on, because when you curse, you get low. You get too low. You got authority from up here. You have the ability to decree a thing, and it shall be established. Peter, I got to get that out of you. Certain situations to get it out of you. Come on, I'll make you deny me, make you humble, so that you got to come back and say, wait. He got Peter in such a situation. He created a scenario. He basically told him what he was going to do before he did it. He said, you're going to deny me 3 times. He was like, oh, no way, God. And then the rooster crowed 3 times. Here he go, even denying him in front of a little girl. Why are you denying in front of a little girl? You could have represented him then. But then as soon as Jesus comes back, the first person he comes looking for was Peter, because he had a plan. See, y'all got to see the plan. He told him in the beginning, he said, drop your nets and I'll make you fishers of men. He knew that I had to process you in order to get you to fish for men. So by the time he met him in Matthew, and then he came back and saw him in the book of Acts, 3,000 people got saved because of the anointing, because of the pressure, because of the pain. God will use pain to produce something out of you. He got him from gossiping to preaching the gospel. He got him from cursing to calling on Christ. Can somebody shout, God's gonna use my pain? You're gonna go from fishing for men, fishing for fish, to fishing for men. Move your will, put your will on the wheel. Come on, Peter, put your will on the wheel. I know you like to fish for fish, and it only feeds your natural body. But when you fish for men, it's going to feed your spirit, man. You're going to be doing the things that God wants you to do. Come on, yes, this fishing is going to take care of your house. But when you fish for men, you're going to take care of God's house. He had a plan for Peter. I know you don't like this wheel. I know you don't like this wheel. You don't like the way this wheel is spinning you. You don't like it, but you better be glad that you're positioned in the right place. That's the second part of the process, is that he positions you in an atmosphere to produce power. He puts you in an atmosphere so that you can get the lumps out, to get the bumps out, to get the lying out, to get the backbiting out, to get the cheating out, to get the adultery out. Y'all gonna pray, to get the fornication out. Put me on the wheel. Get this stuff out of me, God. I don't want to be like this. He said, I'm going to put you on the wheel so you can do my will. Watch this. So then, I'm skipping over about 5,000 things. He puts you on the wheel to get the treasure out, because he had an original design in mind. The Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you. He has a design in mind for every individual. But when we are created, we tend to go with our will, which takes us off the path. But then God begins to do certain things to get us back on the path so that we can fulfill his ultimate will. Watch this. It says, we are his workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, workmanship is translated, and I'm not good with all the Hebrew Greek words. Poiomimum. Numa, numa, numa. Ask your pastor after I leave. Poem, which means, I can say this good, masterfully created. I'm his masterpiece. He wants to put me on the top shelf. He wants to put me up, shine me up. He begins to move stuff off, brass stuff out, and he begins to pull things out so that he can sit me up and put me on display. I need somebody to know that that pain is about to put you on display, so that when people ask you, how did you come over? How did you get through? You can say, it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. I'm going to display his glory. Y'all got to shout right there. Come on, begin to shout right there. God, I'm about to put you on display. This is for your glory. When they come back around, they going to say it's for the glory of God. This one's for his glory. He does it so he can shine. You know, glory makes you shine. It's not for you to shine, but so that the reflection, oh Jesus, can get off of you and get onto him. You can turn and point back to him. It's not me, it's the God in me. It's not me, it's the Holy Ghost that moves on the inside. It's God in me. Watch this. We find that this place begins to push out certain things. Can I just give somebody a good word from James? I know it don't sound good. We don't even read James. When was the last time you read James? You missed your blessing by not reading James. Because you would be able to get the answers to your pain in James. Write that down. You're going to get the answer to your pain in James. God said if you would have read James, you wouldn't have kept crying, asking me why. Come on, that's why we got to eat the word. Because the word will begin to fill us so that we don't have to keep begging pastor to pray for the same thing. Okay. If you would have read James, then you would have had the answer to your pain. James chapter number 1 and verse number 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy. He said, when you fall into diverse temptations, because you know we slip and backslide. There are certain things that we come up against that cause us to backslide or to go backwards, and things that we're tempted by. But he said, count it all joy. He said, I need you to rejoice always, not sometimes, but always. He said, count it all joy. Oh, God did that. Count it all joy. This is painful, but I count it all joy. Ain't done. That was just the first part. See, you would have shouted in your bathroom if you'd have read James. But watch this. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. knowing this. See, you got to put the word to memory. Hide it in your heart so that when things come up, you're not kind of thrown off. He said, knowing this, you should have known this already, that I had a plan for you. He said that when you fall into diverse temptations, he said that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's why you had to wait. God is taking you too long. Why are you not doing that? He said, I'm trying to teach you patience. Okay, I'm trying to get you to a level that you will be able to maintain the money that I'm trying to get to you. And that you won't blow it the moment that you get it. I'm gonna make you a millionaire, not right now. Because I need you to be patient, to learn how to budget so that you're able to put it in the right things, so that you learn how to tithe, so that you know how to sow seeds and give offerings. He said, be patient. Because watch this. If you just be patient, then he says, and then let patience have its perfect work, that you'll be complete and lacking. I don't know, I ain't do a whole good in, whole good, see, I told you. I did good in math, but I ain't do a lot. I ain't do that well in English. But I know what nothing means. That means I'm not gonna lack in any area of my life. Okay? I'm not gonna lack financially, I'm not gonna lack. Spiritually, I'm not gonna lack. But I gotta count it all joy first, because he wants to rejoice in all things so that we can have everything that he desires to give to us. Can somebody shout, God, do it in me and do it for me? He's trying to work something out of you. He's trying to make you look like him. Come on, he had patience coming to the cross. There was a time when Peter tried to speed up the process. He said, get behind me, Satan. It's not my time yet. Y'all gotta hear me. There were certain people that were trying to say who he was. He was like, wait, it's not my time yet. Because he knew at the right time that purpose was gonna make his perfect work. And that there would be thousands of people at Calvary Church on May the 5th that would have access to the kingdom if he just be patient. If he just be patient. It wasn't his time yet. Said, you'll be completely lacking nothing. I ain't even halfway through. Jesus, 14 minutes. Pray for me. Watch this. Said, if you stick with me, as he sits and positions you on the wheel, he causes you to be yielded to his purpose. I told you that the clay has purpose. Now let's dive over into these butterflies. And let's see how the clay and the butterfly are similar in nature. They all go through a process. The clay went through a process of breaking down, yielding his will, allowing itself to be set in the proper place so that the purpose could come forth. Watch this. There's a process called metamorphosis that a butterfly goes through. Jesus, I feel the Holy Spirit. Told you. The clay was chosen, but so was the butterfly. In the first stage of metamorphosis is the stage called the egg, where the egg is released. I did a little research, because I ain't know. I did a little research, found out some stuff, that the mama egg can lay anywhere from 20, a dozen, to over 1,000 eggs, but only a few survive. Okay, that dropped like I thought it would. 1,000 eggs went out, but only a couple made it through. So those were the only ones that were chosen to give birth. Y'all ain't talking. They were the ones that were chosen for this specific process. There were thousands of people that you started out with. A lot of people that you started out with in your school, in your family, y'all started out doing good. But there's only a few. Many are called, but few are. Come on, Egg, make some noise. You in here because you were chosen. You in this building because he chose you. You're in this atmosphere because he chose you. Not her, not her, not him, but her. I want that one. I want that egg. I want that egg. I want that one. And now it's time for the process to begin. That's why you got to know that you couldn't choose him. He had to choose you. He chose you specifically, went through a crowd. I know I used to go to, y'all excuse me for a second, I'm going to just travel down memory lane. I used to be in the club. Somebody should have shouted because you was just there yesterday. But watch this. I'm just joking. I used to be at the club, hung out with a lot of people, but there was something that I realized. I was looking around while I was in there with my liquor in my hand, and I was looking around, and all of a sudden something just lit up in me, and I was like, wait a minute, I shouldn't be here. I know why they drinking that. Now, mind you, the whole time I was drinking with them before, but all of a sudden the light came on, and I started to see why her skirt's so short. Why in the world does he start to look like that? I don't want to cuss no more. Why in the world are they drinking liquor? Y'all ain't talking to me. Why are they dancing like that? And God got me out of the club that night, and I ain't been back since. Can somebody shout? Why? Because you're chosen. He said, Egg, I got a plan for you. I need to get you up out of this cocoon. I need somebody to say, come from among them. Chosen. Chosen. I know I'm chosen. I know I'm chosen. Because if I would have given my will, I would still be out there. I would still be doing the stuff I was doing. I would still be in the mess. I would still be drinking. But I found something better. I found someone better. I found a place that's better. I found a hiding place. A club that was better. I found some sisters and some brothers that were in love with me for real. I found something better. Then, Pastor, I messed around and took a drink. Messed around, took a drink of living water, and I ain't wanted nothing else since. Come on, cause this right here, I'ma get drunk, and I ain't gotta go to jail for it. Both, but this one was better. Look at somebody and say, you chosen. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm different, baby. I'm different. I walk different. When I walk in a room, I command an atmosphere. I'm different. When I open up my mouth, something shifts. I'm different. When I come into a space, something gotta change. I'm different. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm different. I got something on the inside. I'm gone. No, I'm not. It's the first stage. It's being chosen, Pastor. Yeah. That's the first stage. Whew. The next stage is the feeding stage. Yeah. This is the place where the butterfly comes and just eats. Its only assignment is to eat. We identify this stage as the caterpillar stage. Y'all done seen a little caterpillar, right? Y'all done stepped on a few. Stop they process. Ooh. Jesus Christ. I just felt the Holy Ghost. The enemy tried to stop your process. But you made it through. Come on. Come on. I block every demon, every negative word that tried to stop your process. Even while you're in here this morning, I come against every negative saying, every teacher that told you you weren't going to amount to anything, every person, every nurse that dropped you, every person that lied on you. I come against those things in the name of Jesus. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Look at somebody and say, you can't stop me. You can't stop me. When God has a plan, you can't stop me. Step on me. I'm going to the next level. Come on. He makes my enemies my footstool. Come on here, enemy. Take me to my next level. Look at somebody and say, you can't stop. You can't stop me. You can't block what God's trying to bless. You can't kill what God has anointed to live. Come on, you can't stop. It's this part. Say you gotta eat though. You gotta eat because your purpose is big. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you gotta get enough word in you because stuff is about to hit you in the next stage. And you got to eat. You got to know, because when the weapons are formed, you need to know that no weapon formed against you should be able to prosper. Come on. When somebody comes up against you, you ought to be able to say, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. When cancer shows up, you ought to say, by his stripes, I am healed. You got to be able to eat at this stage. It's this stage where you got to prepare yourself for what's coming. So you can't let people knock you off the block. I need to read. I need to pray. I need to fast. I need to get in the face of God because I got to know my answers. I got to eat. What you doing today? Eating. Where you going? Eat. Come on. Somebody say, I got to eat. God told me, he said, during this time, while he's in his caterpillar stage, this is the time, watch this, that he is being processed for use. I looked up and researched. It says that the egg, every butterfly egg is really small. It's like tiny, minute. You barely can see it. See, y'all miss it. Y'all ain't even see yourself. You start out small. But in this stage, the more you eat, the bigger you get. You know what that looked like in the natural. The more you eat, the bigger you get. But can you thank God that it happens first in the natural, then in the spirit? That you now eat more word, now you're a giant in the spirit. The Bible says, not the Bible, the research says that the caterpillar becomes 100 times bigger in this stage. You ain't even see me at first. You didn't even notice I was in the building. I started off small and you ain't even see me coming. Your business started off small. Your book started off just in one little journal, a couple of little pages. Starts off small. But at this stage, it starts to bulk up and get big. I'm just looking at this audience trying to see if somebody ready to get big. God's about to cause you to eat the word. I see you, man of God. God's about to make you get big. Can I prophesy to you that just because you moved in that moment, God says, I'm moving on you. And I decree that everything you prayed for, that those things will begin to manifest and get big before you can see it. I declare an Amos blessing that it's going to happen so fast your head's going to spin. I declare in the name of Jesus that the business that you've been praying about and your financial increase will begin to manifest speedily. Can somebody shout, do it quick? I'm about to get big. I'm about to get big. Come on, let that seed get big. God, increase that seed. Don't let it stay small. Take that 20 and turn it into 2,000. Turn it into 20,000. Turn it into 200,000. God, do it big for him. Do it big for her. Can somebody shout, God, increase me. Look at your neighbors and you ain't even know who I was because you thought I was a little small thing. But I'm really big. You want to know how big I am? Try me. I got a big prayer life with a big God and some big angels that back me up. Try me if you want to. I look like a small fry, but baby, I'm a big thing in the spirit. I look like I'm by myself, but I got tens of thousands of angels guarding your girl. I got a lot of people watching over your girl. Jesus, come on somebody, I ain't no little small fry, I'm a big deal. I'm almost done. The next stage. I got two more and I'm done. I'm gone. I'm leave. Transition stage. This is stage we all went through in 23. I just dragged y'all in there with me. The transition stage. This is the stage where you leave from one place and move to the next. But when I was researching it, I thought it was different because normally in transition, you feel like you are public. Like everybody can see what's going on. In transition, it feels like everything is falling apart and everybody see it falling apart. But during this stage, Pastor Steph, is a stage where the caterpillar closes up, goes into the cocoon, and goes to hide. And I was like, why would they go hide? Watch this. They go hide. And it says that they go underneath the branch or it can go underground for a season. This process can last anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years. That's why you're trying to get out, but he was trying to make you be patient. Because it was in this process of time, while you were in hiding, God starts working. According to this research, it says it starts building the butterfly from the inside. So he's not worried about the outside. He's got that protected. He give him a protective coat. Then he puts him in hiding, or puts the butterfly in hiding. And then now he said, I can work on your insides. He's got to work on your insides, because when you show up the next time, beautiful as you are, he don't want your ugly attitude to show up. He said, I want them to meet me, not you. Okay, y'all don't want to talk to a preacher. He said, I want them to see me, not see you. He said, so I got to cover you for a season because you crazy. And I got to get the crazy out. Let me work on the inside so I can deal with your attitude, so that I can give you a greater anointing. He don't want you to shut the door before it even get open. I'm coming down here. Y'all ain't like that. He don't want you to shut the door before the door is even open. You think you're bigger than you are right now. So you go and ask yourself, make a place for somewhere where God wants to open the door for you. And you shut the door with your attitude before, come on, your character will keep you in certain doors. So he says, I gotta hide your crazy self so I can work on you. Because if they really see you, y'all know y'all say stuff like, if doorknobs could talk, walls could talk and doorknobs could tell, y'all wouldn't want to know me. He said, so I want to work on the inside. He said, I want to get down on the inside. I want to start pulling out stuff that shouldn't be there. I want to uproot stuff. He said, because when you come out, baby, your coming out party is going to be beautiful. It takes a little time. Can you stand up for me? It takes a little time for you to be this beautiful. Y'all ought to shout because she's gorgeous. And you know it, don't you? It takes a little time for God to make you this gorgeous. Come on. When he made creation, you can see. When he made creation, it took him a long time, about 7 days, to make everything he wanted to make. Then he sat down and looked at it. And he said, that's good. By the time this process is over, he's going to say, that's good. That's why you can't use your mouth to talk about all the stuff you don't like that he made. You cursing your own blessings. You cursing yourself. I don't like my mouth. That was me when I would get, before I ever preached, I didn't like my voice because my voice is raspy naturally. I didn't like it. So my mama used my little voice to call my brother from down the street because I was loud. And we had cell phones. So she used my voice to say, Mike, come in the house. So she said, tell Mike to come in the house. I said, Mike, come in the house. So she used my voice for that. Then I got in school, and then my teachers would talk about me because they were like, you'll never stop talking. That was me. But I was everybody friend, y'all. Everybody, I still am. Everybody friend. Everybody friend, love to talk to everybody, love on everybody. It's just me, it's who I am. But I didn't realize that as much as people tried to shut me up, God was trying to unmute me. That he was going to take this raspy voice and use it to preach to a nation. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, I'm not going to shut you up. I'm going to take the muzzle off your mouth. And I'm going to allow you to prophesy to the nations that which I have said. You are an end time prophet. And I want to use your voice to be able to awaken a nation. But he had to put me in a cocoon. Hide me for a season. Because when you come out, Jesus, I got to read it. Can somebody go there and get it? My toes hurt. Yeah, bring me that. Thank you, Pooh. Yours too, because you ain't got no shoes on. Sorry. They're buried underground, but it stays there. Watch this. Go ahead. Until it reaches full maturity. When I was a child, I thought as a child. God's trying to make you get off your Gerber plan and get on God's grow up plan. Come on, somebody. God's trying to get you off of Gerber. Come on, go ahead and burp your neighbor. Tell him, burp. It's time for you to grow up. Come on, it's time for you to grow up. You've been doing all this childish stuff too long. It's time for you to get up. Stop acting like that. You're a big girl now. Oh, you're a big girl now. Why you still riding on a tricycle? Come on, God trying to give you a Bentley. You over here trying to be a baby, and God's trying to make you mature. Get up from here. Got to keep telling you the same thing over and over and over and over and over. That's why you in the cocoon. Because you haven't reached full maturity yet. He said, I got to put you there so patience can make its perfect work. Next thing, I'm gone. Watch this. I believe this. I'm going to say this here. Has nothing to do with the next stage, but I'm going to say this here. Because I believe this, that we can curse ourselves in this stage if we don't use our words right. Listen, you're speaking against the blessings. I say you're going to get mad when you get to heaven and you got that, you see the apartment you accepted and you didn't take the mansion he wanted to give to you. You're going to be mad you on that tricycle down here and he wanted to give you the Bentley because you wouldn't grow up fast enough to be able to reach the level of maturity that he wanted to give. He wanted to bless you, but you keep cutting off your blessings. Go on, Pastor. Watch this. Last stage. The final stage is the stage that it breaks out. I feel the Holy Ghost. I wish I had a voice so I could preach it like I feel it. He said, this is the breakout stage. I'm going to leave it there. Watch this. He says, at this stage, the butterfly becomes, it becomes unrecognizable in this stage. Because the last time you saw me, I was crawling. Last time you saw me, I was in a low place. But you didn't realize I was eating. people are not going to be able to recognize you when you break out of this one. Because now I got wings and I got legs. I got eyes that you didn't see. I got a little bit more strength now. I can grow. I done grown up now. I got wings. I can fly. I've gone from crawling to... I went from crawling to flying. I'm not the same girl that you used to talk about. I'm not her. I'm not him. I'm a new... I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold. 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 That means look. I done grew up. I got my wings. Behold. Fly. Soar. It's time to fly. Come on, somebody flap your wings right there. It's time to soar. It's time to fly. It's time to go up. It's time to leave this level. It's time to fly on another. Can somebody tell him I'm going to another level? I'm about to fly. I'm putting my will on his will. I'm about to fly. God, take me higher. God, give me a fresh anointing. God, I want to go to another. Jesus even went into a cocoon for a couple days. When he left as the Son of Man. And then they came to, when he came back, he was unrecognizable. That even the people that were running with him was like, is that you, Jesus? That's how it's gonna be with you. The people that used to talk about you, the people that said you would never amount to anything, is that you? I know that ain't the same person. I know that ain't the same person that was broke, living on the streets, homeless, didn't have no money. Look at her now, driving a nice car. Is that you? Is that you? Look at your neighbor and say, yep, it's me. Yep, it's me. Bold, beautiful, broke. I'm not broken. I'm healed. I'm whole. Yep, it's me. Yep, it's me. A lover of Jesus. Yep, it's me. A non-alcoholic. Yep, it's me. I'm not a prostitute. Yep, it's me. An ex-adulterer. Yep, it's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. Look at your neighbor and say, yup, it's me. It's yeah. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to yield to his will. The caterpillar, I'm done, eats as much as possible to grow, to be able to sustain him for the next season. Because at that level, all he had to do was eat. But on this level, he has to produce. His only job, the butterfly, the mother, the only job of the butterfly, of an adult butterfly, is to mate and lay eggs. Okay, y'all don't know what those words mean. All right, is to mate and lay eggs. That's the only job. You done ate enough in the last season. He done taught you enough. Now it's time for you to produce. I just came to prophesy that you are about to produce on this level. I prophesy to almost 1,000 of you that God's about to cause you to produce. Everything that's been dormant will no longer be on delay. No more delay. You are about to dominate. You are about to dominate. No more delay. You are about to dominate. We're just going to have an altar of agreement. Everybody standing. This altar is an altar of agreement. We're just coming to agree with God. Jesus. I'm praying over these seeds that God would multiply them. Because y'all came out of obedience. I did not ask for a seed. But you're obeying God, and God is using, come on. He's using this seed. He's going to multiply it. There's somebody that's in the transition stage. You've been hidden, and you're tired of being hidden. I need you to come to this altar so we can transition to this last stage from crawling to flying to soaring. You're about to soar in 24. You're about to soar in 24. You're about to soar in 24. Come on. Just an altar of agreement. Come on, there are at least 1,000 of you that need to obey God today. Come on. We're going to say, God, we're going to soar in 24. Getting up out of this place. I'm about to soar. Come on. I'm about to soar. I'm believing God for the big. There's somebody at this altar. I need you to answer this question for me because I don't take it for granted. I believe that somebody's giving their life to Jesus for the very first time. You're saying yes to the Jesus that I was preaching about, that endured the cross so that you could live. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand at this altar and say, that's me. There are hands going up. Right there, right there. Come on, keep your hand up so I can see. You're saying yes to Jesus, you're here? Come on, she's right there. Hands are going up even out there in the audience, right there, right there. Come on, church, this is the party. They're saying yes to Jesus. Back there in the back, come on, we're thanking Jesus. The goal of preaching is to propel men to come. He be lifted up. He'll draw all men to himself. And I'm not just talking about it not preaching, but he was lifted up on the cross. And he was lifted up. They tried to take breath from him, but they tried to take his life, but he said, no, I'm going to give it up because you are worth it. He gave up his life, girl, because you were worth it. Pastor Duncan, can you put your hand on her back? You were worth it. You were worth it. He died so you could live, so you could inhale and exhale. It's a new life. I can promise you this. It may be bitter for a season, but I promise you it gets better. The Bible says, after you have suffered a while, then he's going to strengthen and perfect you. God, I thank you. If you're here at the altar with me and ready to transition, lift your hands. God, we thank you today for your amazing people. These are your sons and your daughters. We don't take this for granted, God, that you have drawn us today by your Spirit. We come to this altar today believing you for our next, that our next is better than our now. Father, I thank you. He loves you unconditionally. He's going to do great things through you. Let me tell you what you feel. You feel the power of God. And you probably can't even explain what you feel, but can I tell you this? That same anointing that rests on me rests on you. The power of God that rests on my life rests on you. And it's God pulling you out of this space and pushing you into your next. Come on, keep your hands lifted. I say, God, increase them and multiply them. God, I thank you. God, he's healing your heart even as you're here. We come into agreement today that you said we're the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. And I decree, God, that we're about to soar in 24. That we're about to go to our next level. We're not going to stay here. We're growing now. We matured. Thank you, God. Now, can you shout and give a loud shout of praise? Come on, just a little bit louder. Do it for me. Shout for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I want your leaders to come. We're going to do this. For those of you that said yes to Jesus, I know you have prayer teams that can take them. Will you come close to me? If you said yes to Jesus today, come close. You got to stay at the altar. This is your first time giving your life to Jesus. Come close. Jesus. The team is going to minister to you. Pastor, I'm going to minister to you, each one of you. Wow. I love y'all. I love y'all. I'm sorry. She said, you're making me cry. Stop. I love her. It's my cousin. Can we just pray? God, I thank you for healing every heart. In the name of Jesus, minister to every need. You know why they came. You know why she's here. God, you know why they're here. You know why their hearts are here. Heal every empty space. Remove the brokenness. God, I thank you that you're calling them out of darkness into the light, God. I thank you that you're allowing your power to rest upon them. God, I thank you that you're covering them and keeping them and washing all the sin away. God, I thank you that you're giving her a new mind, a new heart. God, that you are redeeming them from the snare of the enemy. And God, that you are calling them out of darkness into the marvelous light. God, I thank you. That as they say yes, thank you. I'm going to allow the team to come and minister to them externally. But I want pastors and leaders, those that you have given the okay to pray for everybody at the altar. We're only coming into agreement with them. I believe in a point of contact today. And I believe this is what the Lord told me. He said, when they lay hands on you, it is the instant Amos 9 blessing that the things are going to happen so fast that your head is going to be able to swim. You're going to give testimonies, doing testimony service about how God moved immediately. Can this be an atmosphere of rejoicing? Because I believe that we're going to dance into our next season. We will not mourn. We are dancing because we're coming out and we're coming out better. Can you begin to shout? Thank you. Let's go ahead and pray for them.
Here comes release, stay freedom. There. Here comes freedom. 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 Here comes freedom.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope. The message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.